Well, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I love about Christmas is time with family, friends. Amen? Amen for that. And Dallas Seminary is a family. And this year, we have had the privilege of having some new members join the DTS family. Now, I could say that in terms of faculty, we have another individual that was unable to be with us today, Dr. Alex Gonzalez, who is in the Bible Exposition Department, and he resides in Houston, Texas, and teaches for us there, and he is on a rather important international trip as we speak. But in light of the change today, I thought it would be fun for us to sit down with some new faces at Dallas Seminary. Now, a couple of these guys you see on a regular basis because Patrick has been leading us all semester long, and Chaplain Joe and has been with us, and so you've seen some familiar faces. But there's another guy here in the middle, and so let me just kind of introduce these guys, and then we're gonna just have a little family time talking. So you know this guy. This is Patrick Thomas, and Patrick serves as the director of chapel music and worship. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Now, what your title is? I looked it up this morning.
It's what's on my door.
So what's on your door. There you go. Looking forward to spend a little chat time with you here.
Right.
This gentleman that we have over here, Dr. Jonathan Murphy, serves as a professor in the pastoral ministries department. And so you've not been teaching classes this semester. Is that correct?
Fly on the wall.
Okay. Now, you're going to find out that Jonathan is not from around these parts. Okay, and I'm not talking East Texas either here. You're going to hear, and we're going to get to spend a little time talking with you, and then obviously with Pastor Joe, chaplain here at Dallas Seminary. And so we know we've seen your face up here, and you're going to be speaking in chapel here in the spring. Looking forward to that, but this will give us an opportunity to know a little bit more about you. So I get my three colleagues and friends here on the stage, and they have no idea what I'm going to ask them about. I'm just kidding. I prompted them with a little bit of some questions. So, Patrick, let's start with you, and just tell us a little bit about your life prior to coming in this position to Dallas Seminary. So you're married with kids, and you have a ministry outside of Dallas Seminary, and so just give us a little overview of who you are prior to this, you know, coming
prior to
DTS.
Being here now.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So can y'all hear me okay? All right. So, and you said prior to being here, how much time do we have? Like 30, 40 minutes?
You have about 90 seconds. So there's, you know, we got three questions coming.
30 seconds are gone already.
There you go.
Well, honored to be here. Prior to being here at Dallas Seminary, you said mentioned family as well. I've been married 13 years to my wife, Tiffany. Some of you were able to meet her if you were here in chapel last week. And we have four kids. And there are 10, 8, 7, and 5. So it's an extremely busy time in our lives right now. I graduated from Dallas Seminary in 2004. My wife graduated in 2001. I'm from Houston, Texas, and I served at two churches very faithfully there. I started playing in church when I was 9 years old. Don't necessarily recommend that, but that's kind of just how it happened. Christian Faith Missionary Baptist Church was one, and then Mount Corinth.
Now, what part of Houston is this?
South Park, man.
South part of Houston.
Yeah, anybody from Houston here can... They're kind of a little slow on it, but South Park. And I also went to Houston Baptist University there. Got my accounting and finance degree there, so I graduated from there. And then upon moving here to go to Dallas Seminary in 1999, I served at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship with their singles ministry and worship music team there. And then joined up with Reunion Church, where I am associate pastor and elder there. Been there since 2001, serving and have led our Bible studies and discipleship stuff there, as well as my wife and I coordinate currently our marriage and pre-marriage ministry there. And I lead a little bit of worship and music there as well. So
Four children.
Four kids.
And what ages are they again?
10, 8, 7, and 5.
10, 8, 7, 5.
Yes.
Boys, girls?
Boy, girl.
That is great.
And they'll all be here Thursday or Friday this week, I think. And you will know because the noise kind of comes when they come. So
that is great. Yeah, I remember when my kids were that age. It's like a moving tornado, isn't it? Yeah, just
I have learned not to take myself too seriously, and everything generally goes okay.
There you go. There you go. Children will keep you humble. That's for
Amen.
Sure. Okay. Jonathan Murphy.
Well, good morning. It is great to be here. Just to clarify, I can understand, Mark, that you'd pick us three to replace Dr. Swindoll, you know? But he did tell us that it was not the newest faces on campus, but the humblest faces on campus, right? Back me up here. I'm Jonathan Murphy from Northern Ireland via the Canary Islands, Spain, and then Scotland, and then Dallas. So I've been on a whirlwind of a journey myself. Married to a girl from Northern Ireland where I went to boarding school. The reason I was in Spain is my parents were missionaries there, but they're from Northern Ireland. Married, three kids, been married 12 years. My kids are Sienna, who's 8, Joshua, who's 6, and Jake, who's 4 and rules a roost. So he's fantastic. Prior to DTS, I was pastoring after finishing off my studies here. And then I moved into more of an itinerant preaching and teaching ministry as well as a lot of writing for an organization here in the U.S. that produces biblical studies materials. So, sorry, it's getting dry up here. So we were having a ball of a time back in Belfast until the Lord stepped in and redirected us over here. We've had a great semester transitioning in. We just arrived in August into this summer heat. I laugh because my daughter, the week before we came, my daughter, as we were leaving church back in Belfast, said, "Oh, I am roasting." And it was 11 degrees. And I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, next week, next Sunday, we're going to be in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be 30 plus degrees. So it's been an interesting transition.
Celsius, friends, Celsius. It's okay. It's hold tight. I know it's the end of the semester.
Celsius, yeah. Yeah, so we're still transitioning. But it's been good. The Lord's
they
been
use the
gracious.
Metric system too, so.
So I think that's my 2 minutes up, I guess. I wasted a lot of that, but I get to see a lot of you next semester, so I look forward to getting to know you.
What are you teaching next semester?
A couple of preaching classes and a pastoral theology and leadership class.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good deal. Okay, Joe.
My name is Patrick Thomas, and I have 4 kids, 10, 8. Joe Allen is my name, and we transitioned here also in about August, and my sweet wife is here today, Lindsay. Yeah. You need to stand or wave or something, stand. Yeah, I'm really going to catch it since Chuck Swindoll wasn't here today. At any rate, I was pastoring in Georgia, most recently 12 years in South Georgia, very South Georgia. We were about 20 minutes north of Tallahassee, so we were just barely in the state. Great church, very, very happy there, but I found out that God can move you when you're happy, and which is unusual. Most pastors move under duress, so their basic across-the-board time limit at a church is about 2 years. We were there 12 and really, really enjoying it. And then the opportunity to come to Dallas came up. And it's something I've always wanted to do. Lindsay says I used to talk about it when I was a student, how I'd love to be chaplain. I don't remember that far back. But, yeah, by the way, we've been married 39 years, going on 40.
We're really clapping for Lindsay, so it's okay.
Yes. Yeah. We have 2 children, both grown. My son is married to Christy Tebow Allen, and both of them are graduates of Dallas Seminary, so we have a good connection there. They have our 2 grandkids. They live on the other side of the planet. They've lived in South Asia for the last 7.5 years. He's working on his PhD, and Bethany, our daughter, is an attorney in South Florida, and she's married to David and has been married for 2 years. She's had 2 bouts with cancer and went through chemo and completely lost her hair both times, which is very, very traumatic. But she's doing well, and they're checking into seeing if they can have kids. But they're doing very well. The doctors told her, she was arguing cases in court just one after another, and the doctor said, "You need to get a job that's less stressful." And almost immediately after that, her church hired her. They go to a mega church in South Florida. And so she heads their initiative, among other things, she heads their initiative in the area of adoption. So she gets to use what she learned in law school in that regard. So it's very cool.
I've had the privilege of getting to know these gentlemen even prior to their arrival as we went through an interview process and were asking the Lord for direction. Send us the right individuals that need to be here at Dallas Seminary. And one thing that I can tell you about the faithfulness of these men, they are firmly committed to our Lord. They are highly talented individuals in a variety of ways. And it struck me in this process of getting to know each one that they could do lots of things in ministry. They could go lots of places. And they decided to come and join the team at DTS. And I'd like to hear why. Now, I know this to some degree, so don't change your answers, at least the ones that you told me. But I want to know, I mean, what drew you to DTS in each respective area? All of you, and Joe, I'm going to play off some words that you used a minute ago. You were very happy. It wasn't like any of you were discouraged or bewildered or upset in a ministry setting or scenario. And yet the Lord tapped you on the shoulder and this opportunity came up. And what was it that drew you here in your respective area? Patrick, you want to start one?
Well, I think the short answer is God made it very clear that I was supposed to do it. And I've had better success in my life being obedient to Him than being disobedient to Him. And I have learned in my life that sometimes my greatest growth comes from discomfort. And I don't mind saying this here. I'm not always the most comfortable in academic environments. And these guys, I know, you and I have had a conversation about that. You and I have. But I also know that God can use what you don't think. You know, if you don't think that's where you should be, God can use that to grow you in ways, but then also allow you to have an impact that you couldn't have if you thought you could do all of that, so to speak. And happy, yeah, content serving at Reunion Church. Definitely, I've been there a long time, and God has been using us there. And, you know, love my wife, my kids. And when this was presented to me, I didn't give an immediate answer. I mean, I'd like to say when it first was presented that I jumped up and said, yeah, I can go back to DTS. But that wasn't immediately it. It was like, got to go think about this one and got to pray about it a little bit because I love this school. I love the process here. I love a lot of my professors. Some are still here and the impact that God had on my life while I was here. And it's an honor to come and give back. And I tried to do that while I was a student as well by serving in different capacities here on campus. But when the opportunity was presented again, God made it very clear this is something you need to do because I have greater things in mind for how I want to use what the way that I have gifted and skilled you through the years. So.
That's great. Jonathan.
Yeah, I would echo exactly what Patrick just said. I was very, very happy as Chaplain Joe. You preached to me there. That was so true. I was very happy, but God can move you on. But as Patrick just said, I really felt the Lord was growing something in me. We had had an ongoing conversation with the seminary over many, many years. I had a stint here just when I finished off as well. And you guys, essentially the Lord and you guys, I love what this place is doing in you. I know what it did for me, and I wanted to be a part of that. How did the Lord sort of manifest that in my sort of monthly thought process as I wrestled with this issue? Just a whole bunch of different ways. The council of really godly people who knew me, a lot of them wanted me to stay there, but knew that the Lord was moving me on over here. Obviously, the Word of God as well, and just as I let things grow in my heart, it was very, very clear that while I was very, very happy over there, very, very comfortable over there, had waved goodbye to Dallas a long, long time ago and was not coming back, that things have gone better for me also when I'm in obedience to the Lord's will as opposed to disobedience. So I kind of had this image of me getting swallowed up by a big fish and getting spat out somewhere. I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'll just take the next step. And Dr. Yarbrough is very persuasive as well, as you'll find out. So, yeah. So we're here. We're enjoying it so far. And we'll see what the next few years has for us as well. We don't hold on to anything too tightly because the Lord can move you on. Next stop, I don't know where that's going to be. Hopefully it won't be anytime soon or anywhere too far, because as I said, 8-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, that's a hard move.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, you still have 30 seconds, so I'm going to probe you on this. Okay. Why pastoral ministries? You came into a particular department, no pressure that many of your colleagues are here, but why pastoral ministries?
Humblest department, smartest department, no, most handsome department.
Let's not get carried away
I did my PhD in the BE department because of my desire to go back into church setting and preach regularly. While I was doing that, the PM department in my last few years had sort of invited me on alongside of them to teach. And so I had been teaching with them for those few years before I finished and left. And I guess they're the ones who kept track of me and kept the conversation going. And that was the natural sort of department for me to come back to after being in the pastorate. My heart's for the local church, and so I like what those guys are doing over there. So
that is great. Okay, Joe, you started alluding to this a minute ago, even when you were here as a student, of asking the Lord even then of, wow, it sure would be great to come back in a very unique role to DTS. You want to open that up a little bit?
Well, I think my wife put it best. She said, you know, it's an opportunity to influence the influencers. It is a multiplication of ministry. I was happy. I was at a local church, and I'm a big believer in the local church. But this school had an incredible impact on me. And there is, as Chuck said the other day in chapel, there is not one single day that goes by where I don't use something that I learned here. I saw Jesus Christ modeled in front of me. I didn't like, I'm not academically gifted. It was very, very difficult for me. I crammed 4 years into 5. I went year round. We had 2 small children. I hated Texas. As a matter of fact, I always taught my children, love Jesus, hate Texas. And God has a sense of humor because that one came back to bite me. And here I am, but we're going to embrace it. And before long, I'm going to get some boots like Brother Mark has over here. To develop the answer a little bit, we were very happy. We were in, I had an opportunity to go to Israel. If you ever get a chance to go, you need to go. It was life-changing for me. And for years, I had told Lindsay, I said, you know, if I ever get a chance to go, I want to go with Dallas Seminary. I want to go with Mark Bailey and Charlie Dyer. Anybody can see the sights. I wanted to learn. I wanted it to be information as well as inspirational. I had no idea that Chaplain Bill, who, by the way, is a hero of mine, I've had his picture on my wall for the last 30 years. I had no idea that he was retiring. And so I was talking with Charlie Dyer one day, and I said, you know, I think I might just mention in passing to Dr. Bailey that if that position ever comes open, I'd be interested. I had no idea he was retiring last summer. He said, yeah, you ought to do that. I think you ought to do that. And I was kind of surprised. And I said, but, you know, Charlie, I'm really happy where I am. And he said, I'll never forget it. He went just like this. He said, you're happy where you are. We're talking about Dallas Seminary. And I said, well, yeah, I guess we are. So I saw Dr. Bailey, and I said, Dr. Bailey, I'd like to have about 5, maybe 10 minutes with you sometime. And he said, sure, let's eat supper together. So we did. And he gave me about an hour and told me about his call to become president here, which is an amazing story. And what a great man we have leading our institution here. difficult job, and we need to pray for him. At any rate, I mentioned to him that I would be interested, and he said, well, great, I've got some other ideas, and I think I'm going to move so-and-so here and there, but send me your resume. Well, to make a long story interesting, about a month after that, I had my resume, a hard copy, on my desk. I was trying to polish it up, a little bit discouraged, not much, but just sitting there thinking, you know, I've really got a snowball's chance of this happening. And all of a sudden, I got an email, and I looked at my phone, and it was from Dr. Bailey. And Dr. Bailey said, I've changed my mind. When can you talk? And so I said, well, I emailed him back, and I said, you're the busy man. You tell me, and I'll make it happen. He emailed me back and said, we'll talk tomorrow at 11 o'clock, which we did. And I pushed my resume aside and pushed my phone aside and put my head on the desk and wept like a baby. It was it was just an affirmation, and I know y'all go through this, where you just say, God, you're interested in me personally. You care about me. And I just cried and cried. Tried to call Lindsay, couldn't get her. Kept trying, couldn't get her. Called my daughter, told her. I was bawling. She said, Dad, everything okay? Everything okay? Yeah, everything's okay. And anyway, that's kind of where it all started.
Are you getting the understanding that these men love Dallas Seminary? More importantly, are you getting the understanding that they have obedience to follow the Lord wherever he leads? Yeah, amen for that. Hey, we've got one last question for you here. The grace of God. When you look and reflect upon your life and how the Lord has led, and for every one of you at a new season, in terms of a new walk, at least here, and with your life and your family, you've kind of expressed that to us. When you hear that phrase, the grace of God, and you think about how the Lord has worked and moved in your life, what comes to mind? What would you say? Patrick, you want to start us off?
How much time did you say we have?
90 seconds.
I guess I'll start with this. The grace of God for me is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I think about, I know me better than all of you do. And some of that can be your business and some of that can be none of your business. But what I've learned is that it's really just piggybacking on what Joe was just saying, is that God cares about me. And the level of forgiveness that I've experienced in my life is breathtaking. And has humbled me beyond anything I could ever imagine. When I look at what my inadequacies are, what my insecurities are, and what my inabilities are, yet God still chooses to use what I'm trying desperately to offer to him, he does great things with it, and I get no glory from that because I already know what I'm capable of, and at best, it's a mess. And when I realize that he can take something that I've presented to him and use it for his glory and do great things, I've seen him do that time and time again in my life, and I can't even begin to express how he has revealed his grace to me in the way that he chooses to use me. Added to that, the forgiveness and the chance after, you know, you see the statement when I was growing up that he's the God of the second chance, but he's the God of so many chances. So I hopefully I'm answering it directly in some way here, but it's just, it's a bigger picture for me in that regard.
Amen. Jonathan.
Two things recently stand out to me with regards to that. The first is about 9-10 months ago, I'm reading a book by one of my favorite authors, Henry Nouwen, on a painting that's one of my favorite paintings, Return of the Prodigal Son by Rembrandt. And I hadn't realized that he had written a book on my favorite painting. So I'm reading this book, and my son Joshua is at this little soccer school, and I'm reading this book on the side, bawling my eyes out, to the shock of those around me. As I get God say to me that he loves me the way I love that little kid kicking that ball about. And I'm fighting him on it. You cannot possibly love me the way I love him. And as that week of soccer school unfolded and I worked my way through that book through tears, I really got a fresh, awakening to God's love for me. And I'd grown up in church. I mean, missionary kid, pastor's kid, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so every night. And so just in the last year, getting that very, very basic truth all over again has been just a very gentle act of God's grace upon my life. And here's the thing, he loves you too. He loves us. And I think the longer we walk with him, the more prone we are to just take that for granted and not enjoy that every day. That's the first thing, which leads me on to the second thing. We have three kids, and from a human sort of vantage point, part of my with coming back to DTS was that our youngest one, remember, the one who rules the roost, was three, nearly four, out of diapers. And so we probably didn't need family as close by to take care of our kids. So we come over here, we say, yes, we'll come. We're heading back to Northern Ireland, going through security, literally laughing at parents with young kids pushing strollers through the security, going, hey, that's not us. We're done. We may have wanted four children, but we can't do four children. The third one killed us. 2 weeks when we arrive back home, we find out we're pregnant with our fourth. And honestly, my initial response after sitting down in some shock was, praise God. He knew I wanted four, and he worked his way gently through all the silly, fleshly excuses that I would put up for not having a fourth, and granted us what I wanted all along, a fourth child. So his love manifested most lately in the fact that I'm getting a fourth child, another boy. Pray for me.
Joe.
Years ago, I heard someone say, God has never loved you more than he does right now, and God has never loved you less than he does right now. You need to cogitate on that just a little bit. It's a great, great thing to think about. His love is consistent. It is unilateral. It is always there. And to me, that's grace. God using us, blessing us in spite of ourselves. I trusted Christ when I was 15. I didn't know what I was doing. I came out of a Roman Catholic background. My wife trusted Christ in high school as well. She was a Lutheran. We didn't know what we were doing. We weren't married then, but we didn't know what we were doing. We had to kind of feel our way along, and it was a journey. But one thing, you know, oftentimes we would look at each other before we'd go to bed, and we'd say, you know, we're not much, but we're not quitters. And God has honored that, and God has honored our feeble attempts at trying to serve him. And he will do the same for you. If John 12:26, when you honor him, he will honor you. You make much of Jesus, and he'll make much of you. And, you know, I pastored a smaller church. I had an opportunity to pastor a mega church, actually, at one point, and we turned it down because my children, my parents had failing health. But we pastored a pretty small church in Georgia. And I always thought, you know, God, is this all you have for me? But I learned from my wife, who obviously you can tell is the spiritual one in our family. She would say to me over and over, whatever God wants, whatever God wants, whatever God wants. And finally, I think I started to get the idea. It doesn't matter what size your church is. It doesn't matter, you know, what position you hold. It's what God wants. And I think when I finally adopted that is when I got the email from Mark Bailey. At any rate, grace is just God blessing us when we certainly don't deserve it.
Aren't you thankful for the grace of God in your life? Amen. Would you join me in thanking these men here today? And on behalf of all of us, welcome to the family in that regard. Yeah, indeed. And aren't we all thankful for the grace of God that we think about at this time of the year, where the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Merry Christmas. Have a great day.